Welcome, and thank you for listening to this episode of Leaps and Bounds. I'm your host, Tom Bash, and I'm thrilled to be bringing you conversations with some of the most successful CEOs, sales leaders, and home improvement professionals. When I started in this industry 20 years ago, tearing off roofs, I had no idea about what went into making a home improvement business successful. Now, having met with thousands of contractors, helping them adopt technology, and watching them grow, I'm excited to invite them on to share what's made them successful, what they're doing today to stay ahead of their competition, and the advice they have for others. On today's episode, I'm joined by Brian Kaskavelsian. Brian is the creator and host of the popular podcast, The Wealthy Contractor. Brian's also co-founder of G4 Marketing Group, a strategic marketing firm that works directly with hundreds of multi-million dollar home improvement companies across North America. Listen as we discuss relationship marketing, the customer experience, and of course, the seven secrets to becoming a wealthy contractor. Well, I'm excited to get this show started, so let's go. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Yeah, appreciate it.
Absolutely. Glad you're here. You're in the office.
I'm actually in the office.
We're sitting, like, I think probably less than 6 feet apart. So yeah. I don't know if we're in compliance, but...
I'll go back a little bit.
It's great because all of these have been virtual over Zoom.
Yep. And now that's how actually, I do almost... I don't think I've ever done one live podcast. I think all of mine have been either through phone or Zoom.
Yeah, this is great. And you're not from this area, right? So you're from...
I'm from Miami.
Yeah.
So not originally, but I live in Miami now.
Yeah, and you're up here visiting around, so that's great.
Yep.
Weather's good this time of year.
It's beautiful here.
Yeah. Well, glad to have you in the office. I always like to start these podcasts off by asking my guests, like, how'd you get started in this industry? Why this?
So when I was going to school, I went to work for, at the time, a good friend of mine's parents' company, construction company. And then we did high-end kitchens and bathrooms. And I was a commissioned salesperson.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I discovered the home improvement industry. And then I went out on my own and started a couple companies, did really good, did really bad, actually ended up losing everything because of some really stupid decisions. So I'm like 40 years old. We were in California at the time. We moved to Miami. We start this little company, G4 Marketing Group. And within a few years, we're working with like some of the top home improvement companies in the country. And we do relationship marketing. We work with them on basically after the job is done, how do we nurture that customer? How do we take care of that customer so we don't lose them?
Right.
So we maximize the value of each and every customer. And being behind the scenes like that in dealing with really some of the most successful people in the industry, you start to see patterns and you start to see things that they have in common. And I say it on my podcast all the time, success leaves clues. So we want to look at what those clues are. And so, through G4, we started The Wealthy Contractor. We started a podcast. I wrote a book, which I think we're going to talk about, The Seven Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, which is kind of the mental framework of what I really discovered through my own experience of losing everything and having to rebuild. And then also from the contractors that I was interacting with every day. And then later on, you know, in depth on the podcast.
Yeah. I'm always curious, like how you said it basically got off the ground running really fast. Like how did that happen? How were you able to connect so quickly with contractors?
Well, 'cause I was one of them.
Okay.
I was one of them. So I was always really good at marketing. That was my thing. My thing was I was always the marketing guy in my companies. And so we started a company that does marketing. We do relationship marketing, a little different than front-end lead generation. Mm-hmm. Next, we're kind of the broccoli side of marketing. Next week, we're going to Top 500 Live. This will come out after that has happened, so I could talk about my presentation is going to include a section called crack cocaine and broccoli. And
we might have to dive in.
Right. So, you know, like leads in the home improvement business is like the crack cocaine of the home improvement industry. It's like leads. We want leads. And I'm all for leads, mm-hmm. right? The other side of that is once we've got that customer, what are we going to do to maximize the value of that customer? This is where the broccoli comes in.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what we should be doing, but a lot of people don't. And so we share best practices of how to do that. And then we do that for companies. We do that whole process for them through G4 Marketing.
Yeah. What does that entail? What are some examples?
So let's start with, you know, job is done. You get your check, you walk away. Mm-hmm. What most companies do is they walk away. You don't hear from them again. You don't see them again, unless and until they need something, you know? So, you know, you'll get a phone call 6 months later. Hey, this is Brian's window company. It's time for you to give us money again. Here's our specials. You know, it's like there's no relationship built. And it's like, who? Oh, we did your window 6 months ago. They don't even remember who you are. And so what we do, we have a what we call our four pillars. So we've got appreciation. We've got feedback. We want to know how we did. We want them posting a review where it really matters, Google.
Yep.
Then we want to set up a referral program. Problem with most referral programs in this industry, especially, well, in any industry really, is they don't last very long. So like in this industry, at the end of the job, oh, hey, we have a referral program. Here's a brochure. And they put it in with all the contract documents. And it's like, I say to people all the time, okay, well, what about the week after? What about 3 months later? What about a year later? What are you doing to ask for referrals then? Because once they put that brochure in that packet, it's like, you know, where does that go? That gets filed either in the, you know, upright file or the round file.
Yeah.
That's where that goes. They'll never see it again. So you got to, and then that's, then the last piece is staying in touch, nurturing that relationship with friendly communications, relationship building material and language.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, we want to be your contractor for life kind of thing. And I always get like, you know, people like in the roofing. I think 60% of our clients are in the roofing business. We talk to new roofers and they're like, well, but I'm never going to do another roof again. Or they're never going to do another roof again. Yeah, but what about referrals?
Yeah.
Your business lives by word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And so send a gift. Ask for a review. Get a Google review because it's like currency now. Introduce them to a referral program and then just stay in touch.
Yeah.
Stay in touch, stay in touch. So that's how we do it.
But you're right. I think a lot of people probably don't. They're like, well, I've already got that sale. I've already collected my last check. I'm done with them. I'm just moving on. I'm looking for new leads.
Right.
And they don't realize they've got this pot of gold sitting there in past customers that they could be, you know, leveraging and nurturing.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, and with what's going on right now, I mean, let's look at what's going on right now. Everybody's flush with leads.
Yeah.
We got more leads than we can handle. We've got more sales than we can handle.
Right. Right.
We can't get the work installed, right, for months. And so that opens up a marketing challenge. But what it also does is it makes people complacent, makes people, I hate to say it, makes people lazy. Not your listeners, but other people, right?
Yeah.
Other business owners, makes them lazy. And it's like they take for granted. We've got all this business now. The worst thing is they start to think of themselves as a genius. Oh, I'm a marketing and sales genius. You know, well, you might be. But chances are good it's the environment that you're in right now.
Yeah,
I've never seen 25 years of being in home improvement. No, 30 years of being in home improvement. Never seen anything like this. But the challenge is that everybody you're getting now, you need to make sure that you have them 3 years from now, 5 years from now. Because when this thing normalizes, which it's going to at some point soon, when this normalizes and leads start to slow down, then people are going to start to get desperate. And if you haven't developed that relationship with the customer, now you don't have this built-in base of people that you can go and talk to, right? And ask now for work.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting time that we're in right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Very interesting.
One of the things I talked about, I talked about at IRE, the International Roofing Expo, was about the customer experience. And, you know, one of the pieces of customer experience is I had been talking to more and more companies that were sending out gifts project completion.
Probably a lot of our clients.
They are. So I asked them, I said, is anybody doing this? Because it was one of the things that I recommend.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah. And I think like it was like two hands out of I don't know, the 40 or 50 people that were in there
nuts.
Were doing this. Yeah. And the others are like, what? And they looked and asked, you know, what do you send in, or, you know, who's helping you do this? And it's G4. It's G4. I'm like, oh, awesome.
And what's crazy is you're spending, your customer is spending $10,000, $12,000 with you. That's a lot of money to most people.
Yeah.
Now, to the contractor,
it's an average, just a, it's an just average a ticket job, price. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But to your customer, that's a lot of money. And what's funny with roofing is, you know, they don't like it when I say it, but it's true, is when I talk to them about marketing, it's like, nobody wants to buy a roof.
Yeah.
Who the hell wants to buy a roof?
Yeah.
I'd much rather take that 12 grand and blow it on a vacation to Disneyland than buy a new roof, right?
Yeah.
And yet people are doing it every day. They have to.
Yeah.
And they do that. They spend all this money and they go into debt. And you can't send them a little gift to say thank you?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. But it makes sense if you're not in business for the long haul.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, as a customer experience guy, it's all about the customer experience. You don't deliver a customer experience today. It's like, this is before your time. You're a young, very young
man.
Careful. But back in the day, one of my companies, I turned into a franchise company. Yeah. So we would do these annual franchise events, and franchisees would come in and we would talk about upset customers and how, look, we got to limit the number of upset customers you have, because they'll go tell, you know, 24 of their friends about how bad you were. Well, damn, it turns out those were the good old days, because it's today. They'll tell the whole world.
Yeah.
They're not telling 24 people. You'll be lucky if only 24 people ever see that.
Sure.
With Google reviews now, they're telling the entire world about you.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting how customer experience has become so important, and yet so few companies are really adopting that as a way of adding value to what they do.
Yeah. And I love those angry customers, not for their reviews, but they're ones that are passionate about what you've done, right? Because there are others who will be like, oh, that's a crappy thing. I'm not buying it again. I'm not doing that. I'm not recommending them. The ones that give you feedback, I think, are great.
Yeah.
I love customers that give me feedback especially ones that it's like negative feedback.
Yeah.
Because they took the time to give me that feedback, and now I get to do something about it.
Right.
And they're passionate about you know, what your product selling, whatever you're offering.
Yeah. And imagine our industry, home improvement industry, I think we are like right behind used car salespeople in terms of complaints to the Better Business Bureau, right? And so people they've already got a conversation going on in their minds that, oh, you know, this contractor's probably going to suck, just like they all do. And so they're going into the relationship with that. Now, it's our job at the beginning to help overcome that and make sure that through social proof that, hey, look, no, we're not like that. But then at the end, like, if you did mess up, it's natural. You're going to.
Of course.
And if you don't do anything to reach out and ask somebody, hey, how did we do? Mm-hmm. And they're not invested in giving you an answer. Yeah, you miss out on a lot of information. What's funny is if you send somebody a card, thank you card, just a simple little lowly thank you card or a gift, you know, like we do, it causes people to think, well, wait a minute. Maybe they're not so bad. Let me give them a chance. Let me now call somebody and say, okay, I'm not thrilled. We have language in all of our thank you cards. But if you are not thrilled for any reason, you call me directly.
Yeah.
It's usually the owner's number or extension. You call me. I want to know about it. And it gives you the opportunity, like you said, to learn, to fix, and to turn that 2-star Google review now into a glowing 5-star review and referrals and repeat business.
100%. Because they might not have been happy. They might not have left you a 5-star review. But that because you reached out and actually solicited their feedback and it was personal and you wanted to hear, you know, what it was and make corrective action if there needed to be, they're going to love that.
Right.
They're going to love that you did that. And it gives you an opportunity to promote the fact that, hey, you understand that, you know, maybe some nails get left behind in the yard. We understand that that's a concern of yours to their broader audience of customers or prospects. And they recognize that, hey, this contractor is self-aware. that they do cause a mess, that there may be nails left over, but at the end of the day, they're going to take care of that customer. They're going to make sure that they double back and get any missed ones and, yeah. you know, really address those concerns. So it gives you
and
an opportunity.
They care about me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, yep. in business today, it's weird, especially in the environment that we're in. It's, you don't get the sense from businesses that they really care about you.
Yeah.
Everybody's so busy. Everybody's got some issue they're dealing with.
Yeah.
We don't have enough people. We don't have product. Or we have this problem. Or we have that problem. Or we're not making enough money. Our cash flow sucks. Whatever. Right? And it's like, at the end of the day, we have to remember that we're in business to serve.
Yeah.
We are there for the customer. And when we lose sight of the customer, then you lose sight of your business.
Yep.
And yeah, you can go and solve all of your problems and this and that. But to really have a business that's going to last for the long haul, that's going to be worth something to you, to your family, to your team, to your community, you got to take care of that customer.
Yeah. What are some, just out of curiosity, like what are some good gifts that you guys are given?
Well, we send cookies.
Okay.
I like cookies. We've always done cookies. Everybody likes
cookies.
Are these
like, these aren't homemade cookies, are they? They're like from
somewhere. They are.
Are they a unique special cookie?
They're not. They're these little crispy chocolate chip cookies that are all natural.
Okay.
And they're delicious.
Really? Like the size of a quarter?
I mean, are they? Yeah, they're like quarter size. I'm not a crunchy cookie fan at all.
Right.
But these cookies, they're addicting because they're actually like made out of butter and sugar.
Yeah.
But I like cookies. I mean, who doesn't? You send somebody a jar of cookies. Who doesn't like cookies?
Right.
My wife says, my wife and my business partner, Addie, she said it yesterday. We went to some store over here that sells these gigantic chocolate chip cookies. She said, I've never met a cookie I didn't like.
Yeah.
And like most people are like that.
Yeah.
So we send that. You know, some people do like flowers and plants. I don't like to send stuff that's going to die.
Sure.
Some people send tchotchkes, like company mugs and hats and what else have I seen? Like all kinds of stupid crap. I don't know. That stuff's okay too.
Yeah.
You know, something useful.
Yeah. I've seen Tumblers. A cutting board. I knew somebody that sent a cutting board like with, I think it was.
After a kitchen remodel?
I think it was with the homeowner's name on there.
Yeah.
And it was it was like a talking piece.
Yeah.
You know, you have people over. It's like, oh, that's a nice cutting board. Oh, yes. XYZ contractor sent it to me after they did my roof. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sparks a conversation.
Yeah. Listen, anything right now,
right,
almost anything is better than nothing.
Yeah. Like you said, even
I would stay away from
note.
Alcohol. We don't do alcohol. Unless if you're like a general contractor and you do 8 projects a year.
Sure.
And you deal with 8 customers a year, that gift better be super specialized, super personalized, and spend some money.
Yeah.
Right? Do something. If you know they like wine, find out what they like, where they like it from, and maybe put a basket or something together.
Yeah.
But for for most people I would say stay away from alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, cookies are good.
Cookies are great. Yeah. We've been doing it for 12 years with cookies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? That's great.
Yeah. The first I don't know if you want to know this or not. But the first company that we used for cookies, their cookies were delicious. Amazing. All made in a little bakery. But we would get complaints about the cookies. So either they would not travel right, but my theory was the cookies were a little too fancy.
Okay.
And so we switched. We switched from those, you know, really delicious.
And these are probably more expensive
fancy cookies. And they were more expensive.
Yeah.
And we switched to these little chocolate chip cookies that are just amazing.
And everybody loves them.
We've never had one complaint about the quality of the cookie. In fact, we have people that want to know, well, where do I buy more?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Interesting.
So I wanted to switch gears here and talk about the wealthy contractor.
Yeah.
It's like you're on this podcast and I'm appreciative, but you've got a podcast right next to the Joe Rogan, right? Like it's right up there.
Oh yeah. Right
number
up
two.
There, right next to, it's me.
But
and
no,
Joe.
It's a really good podcast. I've talked to a lot of contractors that are, you know, like swear by it. They love it.
Thank
and they
you.
Listen to every episode.
Yeah. Well, I am forever been a student of success.
Yeah.
I want to know ever since I got, so I'll never forget it. Jim Gallahue, God rest his soul, gave me a copy of Think and Grow Rich when I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
From there, I found Earl Nightingale. And then from there, it just went on. I found Jim Rohn. Then I found my mentor for 26 years, Dan Kennedy. Okay. But I've always been a student of success. And I worked my ass off for 20 years and ended up broke at the end of it because I made some really stupid decisions as a business owner. I should have known better. But I didn't. I swung for the fences. And I don't want anybody to make those same stupid mistakes that I made. So I figure if I can get some of these really smart people, because people don't want to hear about me.
Sure.
You know, it's not about me. I'm not the wealthy con. People ask me that all the time. Well, are you the wealthy con? No, it's not about me. It's about you. You're the wealthy. I want you to be the wealthy contractor. And wealth is more than just money.
Yeah.
You know, money is part of it, but it's also time. Like being able to spend your time the way that you want to spend your time. And so, you know, look, the guy that's a couple offices down from you,
mm-hmm.
right, has a big home improvement company.
Yep.
But his office is here,
yep.
right? It's running. Yep. It's working without him. And so he started another business. For some people, it's having a house on the lake
yep.
that they can go and visit 3 or 4 days a week. I mean, everybody's got something a little bit different that means wealthy for them. And so I wanted to figure out what made people in this industry successful and be able to share it with others out there. So again, so they don't make the same stupid, don't wind up broke living in your father-in-law's house as a 40-year-old sure. man in, you know, a little bedroom and sharing a bathroom with your children.
Yeah.
That kind of sucked.
Yeah.
But
you know, the mistakes are one thing. I think we all make them. I think it's learning from them.
Right.
And now you're taking that experience to share with others and to help others.
Yeah. Well, and also, I don't want this to sound bad, but I kind of figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of figured it out what makes it work, at least for me.
Yeah.
And so coming from that place, okay, this is the work that I did on myself. Here are some things that I did. Here are some things that other people do. Here's a toolbox of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do what I did, but here's some ideas for you to get started with at least.
Yeah. And how many episodes now do you have?
We're coming up on 150, I think is like total number, something like that.
Yeah.
150 or 160.
It's a lot of wisdom.
It's a lot. And I've had some really great people on.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is I want to know about their beginnings. I want to know about, I don't want to know now that they have live in a 10,000 square foot house and have a Ferrari and, you know, some of them have their own planes. I don't want to know about that.
Yeah.
I want to know about, let's go way, way back to when you started.
Yeah.
You know, how did you think about your business? What were the things you were working on? What were the systems that you had to put into place in order to grow your company? That's what I want to know. I don't care so much about where you are today. I'm not that impressed.
Yeah. What came first, the book or the podcast?
Podcast.
The podcast came first.
Yeah.
And then based on the experiences and what you heard, then came the book?
Yeah.
And so tell us about the book.
So The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor. So it's about, you know, how do you make more money? How do you get more free time? It's almost an overused term, but it's how do you live your version of your best life? Mm-hmm. And so I believe it's 90% mindset, it's 10% skill set, something like that. Yeah. 80 to 90% mindset, 10 to 20% skill set. Skill can be bought. Mindset is, that's on you. And one of the things that I know is that the thoughts we think and the beliefs that we hold true are gonna cause us to do the things that we do. And so this book is, for lack of a better way of saying it, a mental framework. Here's kind of a mental framework of how to think about and how to look at and how to organize this thing that we call our business, this mm-hmm. thing that we call making a life, right? I know that sounds a little bit like big. It's a small book.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's really kind of what it's about, because I really believe if you get the mental part of it right, if you get the mindset part of it right, all the rest of the stuff is actually, it's simple. It's not easy to execute, especially a home improvement business.
Yeah.
There's so many moving parts. But if you get the mental framework right, it makes it that much easier to be able to put the parts and pieces together to create a business that works for you, whatever that means.
Yeah. Do you ever self-reflect, and like when you were writing this book, and say, these are the seven things, like, did you say back
every single
one? Yeah. Okay.
I again, it's not about me,
right?
But my experience is not a unique experience.
Sure. Right.
And so what are the things I had to go through? What are the things that I understood? Mm-hmm. And then was it unique to me, or was it also present with all of these other people?
Yeah.
You know, that I could tell you at least minimum 24 people that I know personally in this industry that are from scratch multimillionaires from this business, from scratch.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Right. And if we look at what are the things that they did, these are the seven things. I mean, there's more, but sure. These are the seven basic things that they did.
Yeah. And you want to tell us what they are?
Sure. Seven. So the first one, and they go in order.
They build upon each other?
They build upon each other. Yeah. So the first one is just knowing what you want.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is taking responsibility for everything that happens to you. Right?
Self-responsibility.
Third is commitment. How committed are you to making it happen? The fourth, understanding the business that you are really in. Fifth is taking control of your time. Six is taking control of your mind. And then seven is taking action.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a sandwich, you know, it's like, here's what I want. And then if I'm going to go and get what I want, I got to take, I call it massive, unrelenting action. And then the steps in between are the things that are there in order to get you to that point.
Yeah.
To be able to take that action.
When you say understanding the business that you're in, step number four.
Yeah.
Like, does that mean saying like, somebody thinking I'm a roofer as opposed to them thinking like I'm a business owner? Is it that mentality?
To sell roofing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it that mentality?
That's exactly it. It's exactly right.
I spoke with Kyle Hoffman, and he mentioned like that was sort of his like light bulb moment where he realized like I am a business owner who does roofing, like you had mentioned.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too many people get hung up on doing what I call the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I got to do the thing better than anybody else. Nobody can do it as good as me. I can't find people that are going to do it. And they think that it's about the thing. And it's not. It's about the customer. We're in business to create customers, keep customers, and multiply customers. That's the business. It doesn't matter what you sell. This is my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you look at, and again, I'm doing this presentation next week and some of this is going to be in there. But if you look at, even if you look at the top 25 people on the Qualified Remodeler top 500 list, mm-hmm. you go through that list, many of which I know and I've worked with that are my clients. They are masterful marketers.
Yeah.
Masterful. They have set up incredible sales organizations.
Mm-hmm.
One sells windows, one sells roofing, one sells windows and roofing, one sells siding, one sells windows, roofing, and but what they all have in common is they understand we're really a sales and marketing organization.
Yeah.
And it's all our business is about customers.
Yeah. When I go back to like, so step one, clarity, I mean, it seems like the most basic thing, but what is that?
It's the hardest thing.
Yeah. Because that's the foundation, right? Like you need to have that in order to see these others through.
So I talk to people all the time about their business. And I'll ask them pointedly, okay, how much did you do last year, let's say? A lot of these conversations are going to be coming up now. We're coming up at the end of the year. We're going to have a 2021 discussion. Okay, well, what'd you do in 2021? I did $3 million. Great. How much did you make on the $3 million? Well, blah, 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 blah. You know, anytime anytime a question that is asked, the answer starts with, well, you know, it's going to be filled with excuses and all the reasons why you didn't do well. Okay. So you didn't really make any money. Okay. What about next year? What do you want to do next year? Well, next year I want to do $5 million. It's like, okay. And how much money do you want to make? And they get stuck. And to me, it's always been, because that was me too. That's why I went bankrupt. Mm-hmm. It was all about volume. Mm-hmm. If I just sell enough, I'm going to make money. No. In most cases, unless you have a profit model that works, you selling more is only going to get you in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so I say to them, I say, okay, well, how much money do you want to make? How much money do you need to make? I have this exercise called the four numbers exercise. And I use this framework and I say, okay, well, tell me how much money you need to make. Tell me how much you need to live your life the way you want to live it. Let's think about the house you want to live in, not the house you live in today, unless it's the house you want to live in. And how much is that going to cost you? Let's talk about the cars you want to drive. Let's talk about the trips you want to take. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the schools you want your, everything. What is your lifestyle? What will that be? Say it's $150,000, just making up a number. Then we say, okay, well, how much do you want to put away for future wealth? You know, I'm 53. My number better be big.
Yeah.
Because I can't work like I did 20 years ago, right? So call that another 100. Okay, now we've got 250. Well, what about giving? Do you want to give? Okay, so call $25,000. I'm making the math hard for myself.
Yeah,
where
right.
are we at? We're at 150.
275, I think.
Okay, great. You keep track of the numbers. Great. And then now we got to say, okay, well, how much do we need for taxes and how much do we need for liabilities? So mm-hmm. let's say we have some debt we want to pay off.
Yeah.
Right? So so let's call that another $75,000. Where's that get
so
us?
So 350.
Okay. Yep. It's a great number, by the yep. way. The majority of people I talk to with this conversation fall somewhere between $300,000 and $500,000. Sure. And yet they think that they need a $10 million business in order to do that. And I tell them all the time, no, you want to make $350,000. That's your number, at least right now today. Sure. Number's going to change 5 years from now, 3 years from now. But right now, that's your goal. Why do you want to do $5 million when you haven't even figured out how to make money at three?
Yeah.
Let's figure out, because if you do three right, you should make $450,000. Now, this is where number six comes in, which is your mind. Well, if the most money you've ever made before is, call it $200,000, and now all of a sudden you have a goal for $450,000, well, guess what? Your insides, your head is going to fight you every step of the way because it's not used to that number.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't know that other number. It's not comfortable with that other number. And so you have to do some work to make sure that your mind will accept that number, because your mind doesn't accept that number. You could talk that number all day long. This is what people do, right? Oh, I want to do $5 million because I'll make a whole bunch of money. Mm-hmm. Well, that's very logical. The other part that says, well, I'm going to do $5 million at a 15% net, so I'm going to make $750,000. This is after my salary and, you know, in the business. I'm going to make $750,000 next year. Now I got to go to work on myself, to convince my subconscious mind that I'm worthy of it, that I deserve it. Right? Because if I can't do that and wrap my head around it, how am I going to spend that much money when it does come?
Yep.
If you don't get that, forget the rest of it. That's where it becomes emotional. And this is the part, this is the big disconnect with people, because sales is very logical. Yeah, I'm set a goal for $5 million. And okay, we have to sell 500 jobs and we'll do $5 million. But now the other side of it is very emotional. Putting $750,000 to the bottom line, you know, now that's going to take some.
It gets real, right?
It gets real. That's where the work is. I say it all the time.
Yeah.
That's where the real work is.
Yeah. No, that's great. Great advice. And the last one, there's massive action.
You got to take action.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you've done all the other stuff,
and I know we skipped a bunch kind of between.
Well, let's run through it.
Yeah.
So I've laid out a goal of $350,000. Yeah. Okay. Secret number two is taking responsibility. So if right now I have crappy salespeople that are holding me hostage, if I don't do hardly any, you know, marketing, if my profit model is broken, right, I'm making less than a 10% net, which should be an absolute minimum number. if I don't take responsibility for that and say, okay, that's on me. I created it. It's on me to now fix it. You're screwed. The minute you make an excuse, the minute you place blame on something or someone that's out of your control, you're screwed. Okay. Yeah. So let's say now we say, okay, I'm going to look in the mirror and I'm going to take responsibility for every action I take, every thought I think, and every belief I hold true. Great. The next thing now we have to do is say, how committed are you? How committed are you to really doing what it takes? If you've only ever made 200 in your life and your new goal is 350, are you committed to doing what it's going to take to make that happen?
Right.
Okay. Then it's understanding the business. Okay. So if we look at the business, it's a sales and marketing company, right? So we have to set up a good sales team. Then we have to make sure that that sales team has the right number of leads.
Yeah.
Right. And then we have to think about the next step. Number five now is, what am I doing as the owner with my time? Am I out running leads? Am I on a roof, or am I out installing windows? Am I being the job foreman, or am I figuring out how to put a sales force together? Mm-hmm. Am I figuring out how I'm going to make leads for those salespeople every day? Am I figuring out how I'm going to put an install team together that's going to make sure that that work gets installed?
Yeah. This right? is working on your business, not in
exactly.
your business.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Because most people in business are working on $15 and $20 an hour activities.
Yeah.
Well, today would be more like $20 and $30 dollar an hour activities. But as an owner of a company, look, if you want to make $350,000 a year, again, just using that number, that's $1,000 a day.
Yeah.
And if there's 8 working hours in a day, that's $120 an hour every single day of your life. Now, if we take out weekends and all, I mean, you get where I'm going. Yeah. I mean, you should only be doing stuff that's a $500 or $1,000 an hour activity, something that gives you leverage.
Yeah.
You know, putting a selling system in place gives you leverage because now I have one salesperson. Now I can add another one because I have a system. I can add another one, right? Then the next piece, now this is where the real work is. This is in the mindset. Yeah. You just got to sit and you have to, like, there are some exercises you can do that I share with people that you can do, but you got to convince yourself that this year I'm going to make that kind of money.
Yeah.
And then you got to take action. You got to go for it.
Yeah.
And what's funny is all you have to know is the first step. All you have to know is I just need to do this first. And everybody knows that. I just need to do this first. You do that with faith and with belief, right? That we got way back when, you know, back when we were at commitment, right? So if we do that, the next step is going to show itself. And then you take that next step and that's how you go. But you got to be willing to do the work.
Yeah, it's great. Where can people go to get the book?
TheWealthyContractor.com.
TheWealthyContractor.com.
TheWealthyContractor.com. Go and get a copy. I will buy the book. You just pay shipping and handling.
Sounds like a great deal.
I try and make it a good deal. As good a deal as I can.
When you're not working and you're not helping businesses, what do you like to do?
My wife says I need to get a hobby.
Join the club.
I just ordered online. So I was looking for don't ask me why, but Back to the Future DeLorean model.
Okay.
Just, I don't know. I just wanted to buy something.
Okay.
So I see you have a model plane back there. Super cool. So I thought, oh, let me get a model. I thought it would be really cool. Yeah. That took me down this whole rabbit hole of there's these model cars that you can buy. You go on a subscription. I don't know if you've ever heard of this.
No.
I'd never heard of this before. So it's this big elaborate model and they send you the pieces on a subscription 3 weeks apart. So you get this piece of the model and then 3 weeks later you get the next piece of the model and then 3 weeks later you get the next piece. And I think this goes on for like, I don't know, like a year or two. And so
that's a hell of a business model. Right,
so it's an interesting business model.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I ordered an, Eleanor model.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. It might be waiting for me when I get home. So I don't know.
Maybe. Wait, the piece by piece?
Oh, and then, of course, of course she got mad at me, right? Well, where are you going to put that? Where are you going to do that? I'm like, you told me to get a hobby. Yeah. You told me to do something. Yeah. So anyway.
I love that you look over your shoulder.
Yeah. I wanted to see if she was coming.
That's great. We're getting near the end of this. I know you've got Accelerate Live coming up in February.
So if you like what you've heard and you're an owner of a home improvement company, come to Accelerate Live. We have, I think it's, if I do say so myself, one of the best industry events, but it's really designed for owners of home improvement companies. We talk about marketing, we talk about sales, we talk about people. I have through the Wealthy Contractor, there's a bunch of other stuff, but there's a framework, the Wealthy Contractor Success, Wealth, and Freedom Framework. We talk a lot about that. It's based on three things: people, process, and profit. So this year, especially in 22, we're really going to hit on people and process and profit hard. I have a bunch of speakers that are coming that are going to be speaking on these topics. We're going to have a couple of panels. It's 2 days. We feed you breakfast. We feed you lunch. We put on what I'd like to think of as a first-class event. It's at the beach in Fort Lauderdale, February 15th and 16th. So when the weather is yucky up here in Maryland, Midwest and Northeast, we invite everybody to come and join us in South Florida.
Sounds great.
In the middle of February. Yeah. And we'll have 200 and something. Last year we had 270 between virtual and thing. Half the tickets are gone already. Yeah. We've got over 100 and something seats have already been taken. But we're excited. It's our big annual event. We get to see our friends and clients. We're also doing something else this year that we've not done before. So I always have, so we've been doing this event since 18, like really doing it. We had a test run in 17, but really doing it since 18. And I've always had a bonus day, which was the customer experience workshop. And so this year, just based on interest in other topics besides just my topic, I've asked my buddy John Angeles to do what we're calling Accelerate Your Sales as a bonus day. So we still have the Accelerate Your Customer Experience. So we do a full day deep dive into customer experience. We actually design a new customer experience in that 1 day workshop. With John, we're doing Accelerate Your Sales. And then with my good friend and very first G4 client and still a client to this day, one of the smartest, nicest people in the home improvement business, Charlie Gundell. I mean, when I say this guy, I mean, this guy is one of the smartest guys in this business that you'll ever meet and one of the nicest. But he's doing Accelerate Your Growth.
Okay.
So we're going to have three options for a bonus day. So it's going to be a pretty cool event.
That's awesome. I love it. One of my favorite hotels is the W there in Fort
Lauderdale. It's not
the W. No, but that's one of my favorite
right,
hotels.
Right. The W actually isn't big enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We looked at it and it's not available.
Yeah.
But we're doing it at the Westin.
Okay.
And the Westin's got a little bridge to go to the beach.
Right.
It's got a great pool. It's a great hotel.
That's awesome.
There's going to be another event there. So if people are interested in going, they got to get their tickets.
Awesome. And you
guys are sponsored. So Leap has been an amazing partner for us. You guys have been awesome. You guys are sponsors. And I think you guys have like a special discount code. So you'll have to put it in the show notes or something because I don't know what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not sure. But if you get it out there, there's a special discount code. And we're on early bird pricing still because it's 3 months out?
Yeah.
November, December, January. Oh, no.
Four.
4 months out. Yeah.
So we got a little bit of time.
We've got a little bit of time, but we got to get the room block, make sure that people get in with this room block because there's another event going. Anyway. It's a whole big thing. But
that sounds great.
Hopefully we'll see a lot of your clients there and I know you guys will be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. I know we're running long on here, but that's all right. This has been really great information. I think people are going to take a lot away from this.
I hope so.
If there's any last bit of advice that you want to give people that maybe have that aha moment that like this is something that I need to really commit myself to, you know, what is the first step for them to go get the book? Is it to commit?
Look, they could go get the book, but really, as we are, this is going to be released before 2022. And I know that most people are putting their plans and goals and whatevers together.
Yep. Yep.
I would say, don't start with sales. We do a whole thing in the book about reverse engineering. Start with, how much money do I really want to make? It doesn't have to happen right away. It could be a 2 or 3 year target, mm-hmm. right? But then design your business backwards from that. So if you want to make $350,000, I have a couple worksheets that are part of the book, one of the resources that you can go and download. But you could just do this on your own. You take that number, multiply it by your profit number, figure out how many salespeople you need. I mean, we do all of this in the worksheet.
Yeah.
But figure out how many salespeople you need. Figure out how many leads you need. And boom, break the business down. Make it, simplify it. Because everything comes down to one lead. At the end of the day, this business is all broken down to one single lead. Well, figure out how many of those leads you need in order to make the rest of it work, to make the money you need to make. Forget about volume.
Yeah.
You know, volume is for vanity.
Yeah.
You know, profit is sanity. So figure that out.
Yeah.
That would be my best piece of advice.
Awesome. Well, hey, I really appreciate it. Good to have somebody in the office.
Yeah.
This is great. So I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, that'll do it for today's show. I truly hope you enjoyed this episode of Leaps and Bounds. If you did, be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and review and subscribe to the podcast. We look forward to bringing you more exclusive conversations with some of the most successful home improvement leaders. If you're interested in learning more about Leap, be sure to check us out at leapdigital.com or follow us on our social channels. Until next time, see ya.